The government denied a record number of public requests for documents last year, citing legal exemptions from the Freedom of Information Act. The data suggests the Obama administration is falling short of its pledge to be the most transparent in history. On Sunshine Week, we speak with Dan Metcalf. He's a law professor at American University.
Certainly when President Obama came into office right at the very outset of his administration and issued the stunning day one memoranda talking about transparency, nothing like that had ever happened before. The expectations were very, very high. And as each year has gone by, those expectations have been dashed all the more.
Talk a little bit about what you see the government doing now and what it's not doing that it should be doing.
Well, I can be very specific in that respect because for more than 25 years, I headed the office within the Justice Department that held the responsibility for government-wide administration. That was the Office of Information and Privacy, which I founded back in 1981, was there until I retired in January 2007. And the best way to describe it is in comparison to what we did under the tenure of Attorney General Janet Reno during the Clinton administration. Janet issued a policy memorandum that established a new standard, what was a very new and different standard then, for the policy approach to determining whether exemptions would be used. And that was called the foreseeable harm standard. And that meant simply that before an agency could go ahead and withhold something just because it technically fell within an exemption's contours, they would pause and consider whether at that point in time disclosure truly would cause harm in a foreseeable way. And we implemented the heck out of that standard late 1993, 1994, and throughout the rest of the Clinton administration. Well, shift forward to January 2009, and Eric Holder, for whom I have enormous respect, he issues his new version of a policy memorandum, and son of a gun, he adopts the same foreseeable harm standard. However, the Justice Department has fallen greatly short in implementing that with guidance and emphasis on it government-wide. No one knows why. At a hearing on the Hill last week before the Senate Judiciary Committee, there was great question about that. I think we've reached a point of critical mass where now, after 5 years, both senators, members of the House, and members of the openness and government community are wondering, why are there no examples of discretionary disclosure, as there were when we did that under Janet Reno?
And talk a little bit about why the government is denying these requests. There have been a record number, and perhaps this is self-explanatory, but there have been a record number of national security exemptions cited, but also deliberative process exemptions cited. What exactly do those mean?
Oh, okay. National security is the subject matter of the FOIA's first exemption, Exemption 1, and that basically means that if a document has been classified on national security grounds, which means national defense or foreign policy, often foreign policy relations with other countries, that is properly withheld. Exemption 5 is a broad-based exemption that encompasses what are known as civil discovery privileges. The big three that are probably known to most of your listeners are the deliberative process privilege, the attorney work product privilege, and the attorney client privilege. It's difficult, frankly, and I want to be fair across the board here, to criticize the government with respect to invoking Exemption 1, because that's something where, for FOIA purposes, the agencies pretty much take it as it stands to begin with when a request comes in. By contrast, however, Exemption 5 is an exemption that does broadly cover wide swaths of information, especially under the deliberative process privilege and the attorney work product privilege. And there's enormous potential, as we pointed out under Janet Reno, for discretionary disclosure of technically exempt information, even though it falls within the contours of the exemption on a foreseeable harm analysis basis. And that's the area most particularly that is in enormous question now. The chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Senator Leahy, in his first question right out of the box at last Tuesday's hearing at which I testified, asked my successor at the Justice Department about that. And I'm very sorry to say that the answer that she gave was, not only criticizable, not only incorrect, it was 180 degrees wrong. She said that the attorney work product privilege is not subject to discretionary disclosure. Well, that was the first area of guidance that we issued back in 1994 under Jan Arena, where we reminded everyone that they could implement that new policy and make much, much more disclosure and not invoke Exemption 5 nearly as often by making discretionary disclosure under the foreseeable harm standard and not invoking the attorney work product privilege. No one, and this was discussed at a program I held yesterday at my law school. We had more than 100 people there in our annual Freedom Information Day program wondering aloud what the heck was wrong with that and how could someone heading that office be so terribly, shockingly mistaken.
We're speaking with Dan Metcalf. He is a professor of law at the American University Washington College of Law and director of the Collaboration on Government Secrecy. And Dan, you're referring to Melanie Paste. I know that if I asked her some of these questions, she would also say that the government is receiving a record number of requests for documents, and they tend to be more complex than ever before. But I'm just wondering, are there...
I can speak to that if you like, and I'd break it
down. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Parts. As to part number one, that is correct. It's not incorrect. And it's a fair thing to say in response to that sort of question. No question about that. As to the second, that is highly questionable. You know, it's easy to simply say things are more complex, but I don't know that there's a shred of empirical information that would support that. And I know, having been in that position, I've testified before Congress on behalf of successive presidential administrations back in 1992 and before I retired in 2006. I know what it's like to have to try to say something when the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee grills you, but that's not something that should so readily be said. There's really not so much to that at all.
But agencies for a long time, and this dates back past the Obama administration, you know, well, they've struggled with complying with the Freedom of Information Act, even though every president pledges transparency. What are the structural challenges to making this type of information more public and releasing it in an easier way so that even people who perhaps haven't requested it are able to access it and learn what their government is doing?
Okay, that's a good question, Emily, and you're absolutely correct. Agencies have struggled to one degree or another in varying ways from one agency size to another from almost the very beginning and will continue to do so, especially at the large agency in the future. That's very, very much the case. The challenges they have really break down into three or four different categories. First is they need leadership from the Justice Department in order to do the right thing, both as a matter of law and also as a matter of current policy. Secondly, they need good people there at each agency. There are 100 different ones that implement the FOIA on a decentralized basis to try to do the right thing, not the wrong thing, no matter what administration exists at the time. That second thing is not so much a problem because FOIA officers now, at this stage, more than 40 years, almost 50 years after the Act was implemented, they are dedicated and they can be relied upon. The third thing is money. And frankly, there are resource limitations that exist even at the best of economic times for the federal government. And everyone knows that in recent years, we have not had the best of economic times. It's something that does overlay the entire FOIA process. It doesn't excuse incorrect substantive determinations. In other words, it doesn't excuse withholding too much, but it does admittedly lead to considerable backlogs of requests, especially at the larger agencies, the law enforcement ones, and the intelligence community agencies. And that is part of the rub, too. The Obama administration, in a very bold move, not at day one, but in December of 2009, came out with a government-wide policy and said categorically all agencies with a significant backlog of FOIA requests must shall reduce their backlog by 10% per year. This is December of 2009. And part of what I pointed out in my testimony last week is that rather than reduce backlogs by 10% at all, much less 10% per year since then, backlogs have increased government-wide. They've also increased at the Justice Department as a whole, and very, very disappointingly, they've increased in the top three leadership offices of the department, AG, Deputy, and Associate, that are handled by my former office. It is greatly, I'm immensely disappointed by what has happened in my former office, quite frankly, and they are not setting an example for the rest of government in backlog reduction. You can't talk the talk if you don't walk the walk, so to speak. As I said to Senator Leahy last week, it's a do as I say, not as do as I do attitude. And that's another basic area in which there's enormous disappointment, unfortunately, in my old office at the Department of Justice. It pains me, as I say, immensely to say it, but it's just become so bad for so many years. Everyone else is saying it, and I have to admit it as well.